Welcome to Making Special Education Actually Work, an online publication presented in blog and podcast form by KPS for Parents. As an added benefit to our subscribers and visitors to our site, we're making podcast versions of our text-only blog articles so that you can get the information you need on the go by downloading and listening at your convenience. Where the use of visual aids, legal citations, and references to other websites are used to better illustrate our points and help you understand the information. These tools appear in the text-only portion of the blog post of which this podcast is a part. You will hear a distinctive sound during this podcast whenever reference is made to content that includes a link to another article, website, or download. Please refer back to the original blog article to access these resources. Today is May 1st, 2020. This podcast is titled U.S. DOE Preserves the IDEA. In this podcast, we discuss how Secretary DeVos's decision to not request IDEA waivers impacts what lies ahead for special education students and their general education peers. It's now official. There will be no waivers of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA, during any time of sheltering in place and resultant school closures. Thanks to the efforts of many people, most notably the Council of Parent Advocates and Attorneys, or COPA, a national nonprofit professional and volunteer organization of advocates and attorneys, working with United States Department of Education, or USDOE, Secretary Betsy DeVos determined that no part of the IDEA should be waived at this time. This is important because it's no secret that most students, just in general, are going to regress in their learning because of the sudden school closures, putting them behind relative to grade level standards. Special education students are even more vulnerable to regression, but only special education students have a legal right to assert demands for compensatory education to make up for regression. This suddenly creates inequity in favor of the special education students with respect to compensatory education, which is an unexpected turnabout. It's usually the other way around that the general education students have advantages over the special education students. What was originally meant to level the playing field for kids with special needs has now become an unfair advantage over the general education students with no enforceable rights to compensatory education. That's something that needs to be addressed and rectified. The degree to which a court may reduce the amount of compensatory education due to a special education student in light of the need for sheltering in place remains to be seen. In my lay opinion, there is an obvious need for some leniency. None of this was within any public education agency's control, and it's commendable how so many educators stepped up their game during this crisis and continue to give us their best. There is no way I could possibly diminish from that. It moves me in my heart and gives me faith that we can all somehow pull it together for all of our students, regardless of how each of them learns, if we all just collectively put forth the effort. There is also the matter of the snapshot rule. In special education litigation, it is commonly known among attorneys and paralegals that an IEP cannot be judged with the benefit of hindsight. It has to be judged according to what was known or should have been known during the time at issue. This requires the trier of fact to look at the period at issue as a snapshot of what was known or should have been known during that time. Given the unprecedented unique nature of the sudden school closures and the pre-existing lack of a contingency plan in the event of something like it, what was known or should have been known by public school officials will require an unprecedented degree of scrutiny. This is because unforgivable errors are being, and will continue to be, hidden among the forgivable ones, and a few bad apples are already seeking to exploit the situation to get away with things for which they would otherwise normally be more likely to get caught. So, how the law will be applied to the facts in the months and years to come ahead is something only time will tell. Given how conservative our Supreme Court has become, there is still cause for concern as to how the law will be enforced. The innovations that are happening around the country in response to campus closures are inspiring and shaping our understanding of what is realistically practicable. This is important because the federal regulations require the public schools to deliver special education according to the peer-reviewed science to the degree that it is practicable to do so. Those who are innovating in public education right now are establishing the education community's professional standards with respect to practicability in many regards. In the effort to determine what was reasonable, given what was known or should have been known in light of the evidence, the innovations being reported around the country by clever educators should have shown up in the research of any educator searching the internet for solutions. This goes to what should have been known. I am the last person to advocate for litigation unless there is just no other way to resolve the problem. I'm thinking about these things from a preventative standpoint, considering the consequences of what will happen if IEP teams don't work together to figure things out now. I am trying to think ahead and consider what could be done to prevent worst-case scenarios. My motivation is envisioning what the worst-case scenarios would look like. That prompts me to consider what would have to go wrong to arrive at those outcomes, then backwards chain the process to basically reverse engineer it and come up with preventative strategies that will hopefully steer things in a better direction. So I don't want to be all doom and gloom here. I am happy to celebrate the champions in all of this, but we still have a lot of work to do. Everything we do right now to prevent regression will be heartache we spare everyone in the near future when school starts back up again in the fall. I want to encourage everyone impacted by school closures to do everything they can to prevent educational regression in their students. The generational cohort effect of this pandemic will be something that affects our species for generations to come. How history remembers our responses to these sudden changes in our world depends on our collective decisions in the present. We're going to have children who have lived in trauma for one reason or another throughout this period who will be re-entering our school system in need of supports that they would have not otherwise needed. Our kids already in the special education system are going to have more demanding needs upon their return. The more wisdom we can exercise today, the less regret we will have tomorrow. Thank you for listening to the podcast version of USDOE Preserves the IDEA. KPS for Parents reminds its listeners that knowledge powers solutions for parents, and all eligible children, regardless of disability, are entitled to a free and appropriate public education. If you are a parent, education professional, or concerned taxpayer and have questions or comments about special education-related matters, please email us at info@kpsforparents.org or post a comment to our blog. That's info at K as in knowledge, P as in powers, S as in solutions, the number 4, parents, parents.org. We hope you found our information useful and look forward to bringing more useful information to you. Subscribe to our feed to make sure that you receive the latest information from Making Special Education Actually Work, an online publication of KPS for Parents. Find us online at kpsforparents.org. KPS for Parents is a nonprofit lay advocacy organization. The information provided by KPS for Parents and Making Special Education Actually Work is based on the professional experiences and opinions of KPS for Parents lay advocates and should not be construed as formal legal advice. If you require formal legal advice, please seek the counsel of a qualified attorney. All the content here is copyrighted by KPS for Parents, which reserves all rights.